Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we turn to Thee in this morning hour, so thankful for the opportunity to gather together in Thy house. And we look to Thy word as the bread of life, and we ask, O Lord, that Thou would set the table and to provide for us, as only Thou canst do. Help us to receive Thy word gladly, that we might draw near unto Thee with faith and thanksgiving, appreciating all that Thou hast done for us. For Thou hast done great things, for which we desire to give Thee thanks and worship Thee in this day. Help us to dedicate our time unto Thee. Help us with purpose to put our attention upon Thee and the things that are above. And we know, O Lord, that the true peace and joy that passes all understanding will come from Thee and Thee alone. Set our hearts upon Thee and upon eternity, that we may love Thee and serve Thee in spirit and in truth. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. For our reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 57 unto the end. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 57.
Ljubiđenađeno se čitaj svete reči gospodnje iz svetog evanđelja po Luci, prvu glavu od 57. broja dalje.
Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And read to the conclusion of the chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we bow before him in prayer.
O Lord our God, we come before thee this morning on bended knees, and with all holiness and righteousness we find ourselves here, gathered around thy holy word. And we seek thy grace and thy mercy, thy love, and thy forgiveness where we may have failed thee, and that we might dismiss the cares of this life from our minds and our hearts, and that we may meditate upon the word that thou hast opened unto us this morning. We pray for our brothers as they bring this message in truth and simplicity, and that thy word might go forth not only here, but wherever people are gathered to hear the word, that thy voice might be heard, and that thy word might go forth, and it might convict souls that are in need of salvation, of which we find in our very midst even this morning hour. We know that there are those that don't know thee as their personal Savior, and so we bring them before thee. And we pray that you'll touch their hearts in this day. Draw them with thy cords of love, that they might understand the need for their very soul salvation. For you know, Heavenly Father, there are many fallacies that go about in this day and age. False prophecies, false doctrines. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will reveal thy truth as it is written in your word. Heavenly Father, we are in need of guidance and direction through the Holy Spirit. And so we pray again this morning, be in our midst, bless our being together as we call upon thee in faith, trusting and believing that you will hear our prayers and our pleas, that you'll dismiss the cares of this life from our hearts and minds, and that we might meditate upon thee. We know that this is a day set aside for us to worship. And we're thankful for the beauty of the sunshine and the warmth and the time of the year in which we find ourselves. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we could come and gather freely, unmolested, in quietness, and enjoy this time together with one another, that we might enjoy the fellowship one with another. We're mindful of those, Father, that don't have these privileges, don't have this freedom, that gather in secret in places where their government forbids them. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with them also and would guide and teach them through your holy word. For thy children, thy nation that has refused to acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah and their Lord and Savior, we pray for them, Father, that they might also be drawn with thee and that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. For we know, Father, the time is coming that our Messiah, that our Lord and Savior will be coming back to receive us all. We see the promises in his word that he said he will leave, but he will come back, and he will go and prepare mansions for us. And we look forward to that day that it might come, and that it might come soon. Father, we mindful of many that are unable to gather this day. We know that there are those that of old age and sickness and various reasons that are unable to come. Comfort them, be with them, and strengthen them as well in their faith with thee. We know that even in the latter days of their lives, Satan comes to distract and try to convince them that their life is wasted, that the word is not true and the Bible is not true, and many false things he brings to them, and they begin to doubt, and Father, help them. They would they not doubt, but rather trust and believe in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to call upon thee, their God, to help them in their trying times. So we commit all this, Father, into thy care and keeping, and faith we trust that it will bring honor and glory to thy name, and that we might be a blessing one to another, and that we might bless thee as well as our God and our Father in heaven. So we thank you for the way of salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us to shed his blood for our sins. And so we pray, Father, we thank you for all these things in his precious and holy name and for his sake. Amen.
Most of us recognize this reading as the account of the birth of John the Baptist. John's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, were older and weren't expecting, who told him that Elizabeth would bear a son and that they should name his name John. He could barely believe the news, and he was made that he couldn't speak. And so the time came when the baby would be born, and they came and asked what to name him. The mother said John, because she knew. The friends and family doubted, because it wouldn't be customary to name someone after somebody that didn't have a name like that in the family. And so they asked the father. And so because he couldn't speak, he asked for something to write on and said his name is John, finally delivering the message that the angel had brought, in obedience to the word that he had received. And his mouth was opened immediately, and he had some beautiful things to say. He had beautiful things to say, not because he was a priest who knew the word, but because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he had a message and words that ministered to his own soul and his own needs and to the needs of those around him. And the message is for you and for me. He ends these This chapter ends with a few verses that speak about John's mission, that he would be the prophet of the highest, go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. We know that that's what John the Baptist did. He began preaching and teaching to repent and that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And he brought a baptism of repentance that men would confess their sins and be baptized in anticipation for the Messiah to come. Preparation that the Savior and Deliverer would come and he would bring his kingdom. But it is that Deliverer that is the main part of the message, that is the main figure in this declaration that is given by the Holy Ghost as Zacharias spoke. And even as we began this service with a song of thanksgiving and praise and worship to the Lord, Zacharias begins with worship and praise to the Lord, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." The message that comes with Jesus Christ is what is being declared here. He's speaking prophetically of the work of Jesus that he would accomplish, that he has come. He was going to come to visit and redeem his people. He was going to be that strength of salvation that was going to come through that house of his servant David, the king of old, through whose line Joseph was. This was God's plan. This was God's intention. This was spoken of since the world began from all the holy prophets that had spoken before. And the message is that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. The message is one of deliverance. That is who Jesus is. A deliverer. a deliverer from bondage, a deliverer from our greatest enemy, death. By his death on the cross, by his sacrifice, by his sufferings and his stripes, we, who are in bondage to sin, who are destined for hell, who are destined for an eternity separated from God, he came to bring us deliverance and to free us from that. And Zacharias begins with praise, saying, "Blessed be God, the Lord God of Israel. He's visited us. He's redeemed us." Do you know what it is like to be delivered or to be saved? Many of us do have a testimony of the deliverance and the salvation that God has provided, the precious forgiveness of sins, and the hope of eternal life that we've received as a gift from God. We think of other deliverances and salvations, freedom that's given. When we are facing adversity and trouble. Just last year, there was a boys' soccer team that found themselves stuck in a cave, and they could not get out. But they were found. And then there was hope of deliverance. And they were brought out. And the world was watching to see what would happen. Do you know that there is a message of hope for deliverance that is coming to your heart? That the Lord may find you. And the angels in heaven are looking to see, how will he respond? How will she respond to that message that is of more, infinitely more importance? The angels look on and they wonder, with a message of deliverance that comes forth week after week, that is open and available through the word, to the hearts of those of you who do not know Jesus Christ and his saving power. Why do they wait? Why do they move to the back of the cave when the deliverer comes? Why do they start thinking about something else? This tells us something about the strength of the one who keeps us in bondage. Strength of deception, of sin, that it's worth it to persist in sin, to love it, and to hope in it, that it's finally going to pay off, maybe next time, and to hold out and to resist this one whose hands are extended to deliver and to save. There was a message from since the beginning of time that this was God's plan, that he would send the Savior to be our Redeemer. He had made promises unto the fathers, as Zacharias says here in verse 72 and 73, to Abraham, that all the nations of the world would be blessed through Abraham's line. And this promise is given and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that he would grant to us that we would be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, and that we might serve him, that we might serve the Lord, and not serve our enemy or serve ourselves, that we might serve him without any fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. There are two ways in which this promise is beautifully fulfilled. When a heart takes the word of God in the with seriousness and believes it beyond a shadow of a doubt, they will follow it without any fear of what the world may do or what friends, supposed friends, I guess, might say. Do you have that faith? That you know that the commands that Jesus gives are what you need to live by. And you're not afraid because that faith is stronger than the fear of the world or of friends or of what you might lose Jesus, his deliverance, and his salvation is so much greater than any promises that the world offers. They're so great that we do not have to have a fear that he will trick us or deceive us. He is faithful. And he has proven that time and time again. He's delivered his people in the past. And we've seen it through the scripture. And we can testify of it to our friends and those who are younger. Yes, the Lord is faithful. And yes, when we do put our trust in him, he does care for us and provide much, much more than we ever thought possible. That's the testimony that we have of the Lord, that his promise is true. And we are to be encouraged, and we are to be challenged to be as the Apostle Paul, who said, I leave all things behind and strive for the hope of the calling that is found in Christ Jesus my Lord. To serve him without fear in righteousness and holiness all the days of our lives. Beloved, there is such an inner peace that can overwhelm and flood the soul when we do not follow in the ways that just the masses are going. But when we hear the word of God and we see Jesus Christ teaching us and saying, these are the commands by which I want you to live. And we say, yes, Lord, I will follow. I will believe. And we put our scorn on the world and how everything seems to be going in a particular direction. And we say, no, no more. Following everything how it is. I'm going to follow Jesus and him alone. I'm going to seek the things that please his heart. And not just go with the crowds, even the crowds that we are supposed to respect. Serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life is what we're called to. We receive that deliverance. If we receive that salvation, there is also a hope of eternal life, where this flesh will be changed, where this body, we have new bodies, resurrected bodies, and we will serve the Lord without any fear, without any night, without any need for rest, in holiness and righteousness for eternity. And Jesus has come to make those two things possible, that we might serve the Lord here and that we might have hope for eternal life, that we can serve the Lord in his presence for eternity, forever, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. May the Lord give us understanding of what Jesus has done, what he has provided through his death on the cross, that we can understand who he is and glory in the beauty of his life that he has forever, and that we might also have his life abiding in us, that we might receive him in faith in our hearts, and do what's pleasing unto him. When Jesus taught, the disciples asked him, teach us to pray. How can we pray? One of the things that Jesus said in his prayer was a request and a petition that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God permits trials and temptations to come to our lives, that he might prove our faith, and that we can see that we do trust in God alone and not in ourselves. Yet we have some promises in the Word of God to comfort us and to help us. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2, which we read not that long ago. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations." That is something, a promise of the Word of God that we must know and understand and believe. Because when we are struggling in temptation, or are fighting with bondage, it's not always apparent how we will get out. And our human tendency is to try this and to try that. But here is a word that says, you may not know how to be delivered. You may feel overcome by temptation, but that's not true for God. He knows the way out. He knows the path. And so, follow Him. Follow His word. Cry out to the Lord. Ask for help to believe more and to trust, and not to give in to the way that everything seems to be going. Everybody else does it. This seems to be an acceptable level of holiness and righteousness. This is how everybody else fills their days. Maybe not. Maybe we need to start saying no. Maybe we need to tune into the Word of God and simply ask, what is obedient to the words of Jesus Christ? And how would He have me to live? We read again many promises in the Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Another word to take with us into the battle. Young men, young women, take this with you into the battle, that you might have something to hold on to. When all of the temptations make your mind swirl and make it seem like nothing is stable, the word says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." You think you're in a difficult spot, and nobody else could understand or know what you're going through, and it's much, much harder, and you just don't understand, I just have to give in. No. No, the word says no. Temptations have come, and they're common to man, and there's no temptation that you experience that is more than what others go through, and certainly not more than the temptations that our Savior overcame Himself. He says, but God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There are two things, there's many things that we could learn from this verse, but there are at least two about the process of going through these temptations and relying upon the Lord. One is that there is a way of escape, and that alone reminds us that there is a light that we can find in the Word of God and in faith and trust in the Lord when we feel that our energy and our ability to resist is expended. There's still that light that shines. There is still that hope that deliverance is available. But we need to trust in the Lord. And there is a way of escape. But do you get there right away? Not always. Because it says that ye may be able to bear it. To bear, to endure through a season of temptation, with faith brings victory. It's not always like fast food or fast cars or fast computers and the speed that things go at, where you get things in an instant and then poof, everything's fine. Sometimes we have to bear. But God has given us the strength. God has given us His promise that we will be able to bear when we trust in the Lord. And it's notable to see the verse before, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Oh, how this reminds us, this is a work of faith. This is faith in action. It's not a Superman of faith or of religion, that nothing bothers them and everything just seems to bounce off their chest. No, they go through hard times and they struggle and they cry out to the Lord and they ask Him for wisdom. They ask Him for light, but they never give up their faith and they never doubt the word of the Lord. And we have that faith and that trust. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, Paul also had hope that the Lord was delivering him, the Lord would deliver him, and the Lord will deliver him in future, in time to come. He says, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." This speaks to the extent of our faith. But beyond even our life and our days here, after we die, we trust that God will raise us from the dead. Paul says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." There's a great deliverance in the Lord. And we should trust and believe in His ability to help us in our time of need. And we have great and precious promises to hold on to as we battle and as we struggle against the world, against Satan, against our own flesh, and against the trends and the tendencies of this is what Christianity should be. Look to the Word to find out what Christianity should be. That is where we find the truth. That is our rock and foundation. We have a part to play in yielding ourselves to the promises of God and though they are very powerful and something we should take confidence in. But we do have a responsibility also when spiritual danger is in our presence. When we notice, this is a time when I tend to go a little bit too far. You know, when the guys are getting together and the laughs start, I know I get a little bit carried away with making fun of this person or... You know the situation for yourself. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." We have a part to play in avoiding things that are dangerous for our soul. And we'll learn where our weaknesses are and where our vulnerabilities are in time. And we should be careful about those things and avoid them. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men." I believe that David observed that it seemed like evil men didn't have that much trouble in their life. Physically, at times. There seems to be times when things go easy for them. And just on the outside, it looks like going in their way and following in their path might not be such a bad idea. But the word says, don't even go in their way. Don't even veer off the path and try out their ways for a little bit. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. There are great dangers and there are great consequences to ignoring this warning. Oh, but, you know, God is a great deliverer, and he'll deliver me. I'm just going to go for a little bit. I'm just going to dabble in this. And God will deliver me, right? God's a deliverer. That's what we learned this morning. Maybe you might find deliverance. God is gracious and merciful. But what about the people you affect? What about the lives of others? Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses would come. But woe unto the man by whom they come. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would be cast into the sea. Does our dabbling lead to offense? Does our lack of sobriety lead to destruction for someone else's soul? This is Jesus speaking. He's pleading with us for your sake and for the sake of others that he loves and desires to embrace. Don't be foolish. Don't go in the way of evil men, of angry men, and scorning men. It's so easy to drift off. There was a child that was caught in the kitchen eating cookies when he wasn't supposed to. And he told his mom, I just went up to smell them and my tooth got caught. Isn't that easy? We didn't intend it. We didn't expect it. But looking back, we know we didn't listen. And the effects of that disobedience was like a cancer that spread and hurt people's conscience. And it caused misery. And that is what Satan loves. And that is what Satan is looking for. He loves to see it. But Jesus has come to bring us deliverance. And by walking in faith and being obedient to his word, we have deliverance. Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Then we read, Second Timothy chapter 2. Flee also youthful lusts. There are probably some that are thinking, if I don't do those things, what should I do? Or I would be doing nothing. Here's something to do. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Devote your life to serving others. Devote your life to faith. And you can receive faith through reading the Word of God. Nurture a love for the Scripture. And look forward each evening or in the morning to opening its pages and asking the Lord and receiving from the Lord how you are to live today and what your heart should be like. Take time to give to others. Spend more on helping widows and orphans than spending at restaurants. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There are many believers who need to spend time with each other, and there are many believers who need encouragement, who see the practicing of faith of those that are younger as a great encouragement, and we are blessed when we see it. With all those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, be a blessing to those that are around you. You'll find that you will have abundant work to do if you set your heart on these things. Take with you the words of Apostle Paul as he was anticipating the trials and the persecution that arose to him often, but he was also anticipating deliverance from the Lord, where he said these words, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." May the Lord give us confidence and faith in him that truly can repeat these words from the heart, that we know the Lord will deliver us and that a crown is prepared for those that love him. Amen.
Knowing the time in which John was introduced into this world, we know that God's children were in darkness for over 400 years. And so now God chose John to come and to be a light and to witness for that light that is to come. And so as he was given the responsibility, it says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. So as we heard and read about his birth and how he came into being, we read in the book of John how he came. And John writes, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let us, as we realize and need to be the light of this world, and that we might be a witness of that light before men in the place in which we find ourselves. Amen.
Amen.